What's going on, everybody, and welcome back for another episode of Triggered. This is Triggered, episode number 580 here on Wednesday, October 15th, and I am back. Apologies for the long hiatus there. It's been a very, very busy few weeks, I guess a month since I've been on the show. So
I mean, nothing's happened.
Oh, yeah. I've just been sitting around, just hanging around. You know the meme. Yeah. So let's get started here. Obviously, the big news over the last week is that we now have peace in the Middle East.
Yes.
We were told it couldn't happen and that President Trump would get us into World War III, but all of us knew better.
Yep.
And a historic move over in the Middle East.
Trump Gaza. It's coming.
Yeah, we'll see. So yeah, the war between Hamas and Israel for now is over. And the hostages, the 20 surviving hostages, were released back to Israel. Still quite a lot of remains of hostages who were brutally tortured and murdered by Hamas to be turned over. I think they don't know where a lot of those bodies are, which is a problem.
Yeah.
We also obviously have the enforcement of this and potential phase two. And you know, Trump was talking a lot about how, well, Hamas has to disarm, and there's a lot to happen here. But for basically for the first time, you have all of the Muslim Arab nations over there backing President Trump. And Hamas saw the writing on the wall, and they saw that, you know, they really didn't have it out here. So, but now they're shooting people in the streets, and, you know, there's a lot of going on over there.
Allegedly.
No, obviously.
I know. I see the videos.
the true irony is now they're genociding themselves.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah.
Not that I was against that before, anyway. Yeah, allegedly.
Yeah, just sometimes just let that bonfire burn, you know?
Yeah. And so we have a lot of great reunions happening between families and over 2 years of captivity for the hostages. And, it's good to see them back in the embrace of their families and families reunited. All those videos were so emotional. You know, obviously President Trump took a trip over to Israel. It was a whirlwind trip. They departed Sunday afternoon. Of course, Katie was on the trip with him reporting for Town Hall. And they landed in Israel. Great fanfare on the tarmac, greeted by the president of Israel and, of course, Prime Minister Netanyahu. And then Trump went and met with hostage families. He addressed the Knesset over there, which is their Congress. And his speech, I thought, was really great. Here's a little clip. I'm sure you've seen some of it and heard maybe most of it, but here's a little clip that I thought was very good.
After two harrowing years in darkness and captivity, 20 courageous hostages are returning to the glorious embrace of their families, and it is glorious. 28 more precious loved ones are coming home at last to rest in this sacred soil for all of time. And after so many years of unceasing war and endless danger, today the skies are calm, the guns are silent, the sirens are still, and the sun rises on a holy land that is finally at peace, a land and a region that will live, God willing, in peace for all eternity.
And of course, you know, Trump, the jokester that he is, had some interesting, funny moments of levity, I thought, in there, which was kind of nice. And he got a great reaction from the Knesset, except for a few protesters who were disrupting Trump. And take a listen to this.
And they somehow can relate to him. I've known him for many years, and I've seen it over and over again.
Please expel this Knesset member. Knesset member Kassif out of the hall. Please expel him immediately.
Sorry for that, Mr. President.
That was very efficient.
I love how he goes, that was very efficient. They got dragged out by, I guess, Mossad or whoever the hell is in charge over there. of course, he was given a little ribbing to Netanyahu for giving a marathon speech. Take a listen.
Interestingly, right now, as soon as I'm finished, I'm quite late. You've kept me quite late between opposition leaders and Bibi's brilliant but very long speech. I thought I was going to run up here, make a speech, and then head to Egypt. It didn't work out, though. And you made a pretty long one, too, sir. But I liked what you all said. It could be worse. Supposing I, on top of it, I didn't like what you said. That would be no good, Ron, would it? Ron, you did a great job, by the way. Ron.
he was on a roll, and honestly, I don't know where he gets his energy from, because apparently, basically from the moment they left on Sunday afternoon till they arrived at 3 a.m. Tuesday back in Washington, D.C. at Joint Base Andrews, I don't think he really slept.
He doesn't sleep. I think that's the thing that, well, I know you don't, I mean, we don't really like her, but Caitlin Collins said, is one of the, like, when people are selected to go to travel with the president on Air Force One, it's always like, bring a case of Celsius with you as well, because the man never sleeps.
Yeah.
You never know when he's going to pop in and be like, okay, let's take some questions.
Yep.
Or not, if you're, you know, Dasha Burns of Politico.
Yeah.
You're Dasha, you're Politico? You're so terrible.
Yeah.
You get everything wrong. Let's get somebody else over here.
Yeah. Well, I also loved yesterday, awesome. Just a side note on the press, how, because Vice President J.D. Vance, also going to be the 48th President of the United States, went on to George Stephanopoulos' show this weekend, and they cut the Vice President off.
Oh, my God.
They went to commercial. Ugh. And then an ABC reporter at the White House tried to ask a question yesterday when Javier Milei, the Argentina president, was in town. Because, I mean, they went right into that. He got back at 3 a.m. and then, boom, noon, Malaise at the White House. And then, of course, they had the ceremony yesterday afternoon awarding Charlie Kirk the Presidential Medal of Freedom posthumously. And Erica Kirk accepted that. And it was a great ceremony. And if you haven't watched the remarks by both President Trump and Erica Kirk, I highly recommend you to go back and do so. But an ABC reporter was about to ask a question. He goes, no, you're fake news, NBC. You mistreated JD very poorly. Now, who else? He's just on a roll, and his approval rating is up there. I mean, you know, 50-50 essentially, of course, on that. I still think those are rigged.
I think it's like 54.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, you can't. We've known for years they can't poll this guy properly.
Yeah, but here's also the key. In relative scoring to all our previous presidents here of essentially the last 20 years, both W and Obama, he is higher at this point in the second term than both of them, including Obama.
Yeah.
And I know that bugs Obama so badly.
And
it also bugged the libtards to have to praise President Trump over the weekend for the peace deal.
Oh, the one that took them like 12 hours to finally respond to?
Yeah, well, you—I mean, you saw even Hillary.
Yeah,
you know that really got under her skin.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a great day for the country, for the world. It's a great day for the United States, for Israel, and
good plan. Maybe we can roll out. Yeah, puts him at the top of the list for the Nobel Peace Prize next year, and it's his plan. I love how like Blinken tried to say that it was built on the foundations of the Biden plan. I'm like, get out of here.
That was one of the most ridiculous things I heard all weekend.
And then after that, all the Democrats saying, you know, celebrating the release of the hostages, this, that, and the other. I'm like, yeah, it's Trump's plan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You're not even acknowledged. Like, it's just ridiculous. It's just laughable at this point. So,
well, you know, and interestingly enough, you had several Democrats come out and say something along those lines. An ex-Kamala aide saying, quote, if Trump gets this peace deal, he deserves the credit. CIA director under Obama, Leon Panetta, said, quote, this achievement, and it is a significant achievement, would not have happened without United States leadership. President Trump deserves a lot of credit for bringing the parties together. You know, Joe Biden's statement was sad.
Well, he didn't write that. That was Jill.
Well, yeah, it was someone. And apparently his cancer's progressing, and I think he's probably on his way out.
I mean, wasn't stage 4 when they caught it?
Well, I don't know what stage it is, but it sounds like it's getting worse. Yeah, it's not good. I mean, he was a gazillion years old anyway. Yeah. That's not, you know. But Bill and Hillary Clinton giving Trump credit.
Yeah.
Kamala giving credit. And by the way, speaking of Kamala, did you see the report about Joe Biden ignoring her calls?
Yeah.
take a listen.
I want to get to some news that just came out today with President Biden. His spokesperson said that he is going to now start doing radiation for his prostate cancer. Have you talked to him
about it? Yeah, no, I called him earlier. Mm-hmm.
How's he doing?
I have not talked to him. I just left him a message after I heard the news. I was otherwise on the event. I think Joe Biden is a fighter, and that is what I told him and left him a message. He's a fighter, and he's going to fight this. And we're going to hold him up and pray for his recovery and for his strength and for his family.
Yeah. You write about him a lot in the book. Have you talked to him about the book?
Yes.
Yeah. What did he say?
I'm not going to tell you.
Oh, come on. You know, it's just you and I.
Yeah, right.
Madam Vice President, thank you so much for coming on.
You're welcome. We appreciate it.
Yeah, that's not too surprising.
Yeah.
But,
well, I mean, listen, you know, I mean, I will say, even, you know, I'm warming up to Bill more and more in his older years.
Yeah.
Even though he f***ed Monica with a cigar. But, you know, it's... You
allegedly.
Know, allegedly. Yeah. In the study. Where Trump keeps the hats.
Well, it's Trump's gift shop now.
Yeah,
it's Trump's and he gift calls shop. It the Monica Room. He calls it the Monica Room. Literally, that's what he
this
says.
This is the Monica Room. Here's a hat.
Yeah, here's a Trump 2028 hat. You know, this is where it all happened. Yeah.
And then Tomahawk Liz made it all about herself.
Yeah, yeah.
That was... Yeah.
Well, yeah.
J.D. Then, cooked her.
Then
J.D.'s like, well, this was done on the occasion of Indigenous Peoples Day.
Yeah, yeah. But when you even have, you know, Abby Phillip on CNN giving President Trump basically what I would say for CNN is... extreme credit.
Yeah,
you know that they basically have nothing left. Take a listen to what she had to say.
Perhaps even bigger than the Nobel Peace Prize, you could argue. But I mean, there is a desire on the part of a lot of people in MAGA, and this is channeling, I'm sure, what Trump is feeling for credit. President Obama put out this post talking about the peace deal and the prospects of it, and Don Jr. responded to it. I'll finish it for you. Thank you, Donald Trump. Honestly. It's not unfair to say if President Obama's going to write a whole post about a peace deal, maybe he should acknowledge the president that brokered it.
If Donald Trump gets a peace deal, he deserves the credit.
I mean, I was stunned.
That's not only giving Trump credit, but ripping Obama in the same breath.
Yeah.
It's very, very interesting. You know, and some early polling here post-peace deal shows a 6-point jump in Trump's favorability and job approvals in a reputable poll. That's Rasmussen. So it's very, very interesting, you know. But flashback to that scumbag traitor bitch Alyssa Farah. Take a listen to this.
My point when I say I'm not going to be apocalyptic, it's not changing a tune. It's not making every single thing a 5-alarm fire. Yeah. If he does good, if he gets the Israeli hostages out, I promise I will wear a MAGA hat for one day on the show and say, thank
Please
you for
don't
doing
do
it. Yeah. I know she'll knock it right off my head. But
Please
like, we can, you have to be able to cheer for wins when they happen and then call out relentlessly the wrongdoing. Well,
You know, when you make a wager, you have to honor it.
Yeah, well, we're a couple days in now.
Then
and
there's
she
a vig. You know, we got to talk vigorous now.
Yeah, yeah. She's a couple days in, did not do it. And then Trump was, of course, asked about it because, you know, the media loves this. Lap it up. Take a listen.
Show and say thank you for doing it. Your response.
Well, did she put the hat on?
Well, she hasn't got the hat yet.
Who is it? Which one?
Alyssa Farah.
Well, she used to work for me. So she used to work here. I'll tell you about Alyssa. She worked here. She gave me the most beautiful letter when... You know, the administration, the time came up, the election was rigged, I left. She gave me the most beautiful letter you've ever seen. I was a great president. What a great job. Some of the letters been quoted. This is Alyssa, who I never thought was very outstanding. I figured she would not make it. And she didn't have a big role here either. And then we had January 6th, and she left after that or before that, but she gave me the most beautiful letters. And then even months after she left and while we weren't here any longer. She sent another letter, glowing letter, beautiful letter. And then she got hired by The View, and they gave her a couple of bucks, and she changed her view very quickly. I never thought she'd make it. Never thought she had what it took in any way. You know what that means. But she's on The View. But it just shows what a fraud The View is, because this woman gave me letters and statements. She said I was the greatest president in her lifetime. Now, she's not that old, so I didn't consider it a great compliment, but I've had better.
Can we send her a hat?
Well, recently I've had the greatest president of them all. I like that much better.
Mr. President?
Does that include Washington and Lincoln? Yes, sir, it does. I said I like that person.
So
I think she's a total... I think she's a joke.
Yep.
Yeah, let's do. We might have to do a bust out of like David Scatino's sporting goods store.
And he makes such a great point there too. That's not just related to her. There's quite a few people who essentially pretended to be conservative or Republican, whatever you want to call it, for quite a long time.
Yeah.
And that list is long. It's you know, people like S.E. Cupp. And well, I have another name for her, but we'll keep it a little PG-13 here. You have people like Amanda Carpenter, you know, Alyssa Farah, you know, Jonah Goldberg, Bill Kristol, this and that.
We can throw Paul Ryan in there too.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Paul Ryan's been a little quiet. He hasn't been.
I mean, he has shut the fuck up.
He hasn't been. Yeah, it's because he's making a lot of fucking money in the private sector now.
Yeah, not even a lot.
But you know, the people like that made tons of money off of the Republicans for a long time, right, just turned out that they were pretending to be Republican.
Yeah.
And now are full-throated Democrats. And especially when it comes to things like the scandal here in Virginia with the attorney general candidate, Jay Jones. I know, I'm sure you and Corey covered that quite a bit.
The die candidate.
Yeah, yeah. You know, they're like, oh, well, we're still going to vote for him. Okay, so you're just a Democrat.
Yeah.
Just admit, you're just a Democrat. And it's really interesting to see the battle lines being drawn. And there's obviously President Trump's legacy is going to be massive, tremendous. But if there's one thing that I think I love the most about the Trump years, you know, and basically our time here at Town Hall has been the Trump years. I mean, you started a year before me, but the year that I started a week before Trump came down the escalator.
Yeah.
So it's basically been all Trump the entire time I've been here. If there's one thing that I love about these years is that it purged our side of these f***ing loser, spineless turncoats.
Yeah.
And that it made very clear you're either on the team or you're not. And it turned us into a bunch of fighters. And I think that's... I'm more optimistic than I've ever been about the future of our party and the future of America, because we got rid of the losers. Yeah. And we now have a fighter like JD who's ready to take the torch. And it was a momentous, perfect pick for vice president.
We'll punch you in the mouth. We don't care. We don't care about that the institutional left has all these advantages.
Not physically. Not figuratively.
Figuratively.
Yeah, figuratively. Just to be clear.
Not condoning that.
Not yet.
Anyway. But, you know.
But if they want a hot civil war, we'll fucking give it to them. That's how
they have all these structural advantages. Okay, fine. We don't care. Whoa, we have Hollywood. We don't care. We have, you know, the media, the corporate media sphere blocked off. We don't care. We don't f***ing care.
Yeah.
As we saw in 2024, that's been busted. Yeah. That whole influence ring busted. So.
Yeah. Well, you know.
And we're winning. We won.
Here's the thing. I mean, it's very clear at this point that the Democrats have nothing.
Yeah.
Even with their stranglehold on the mainstream media, that's dying. No one believes them anymore. No. If you look at the massive shift that's occurring in American politics, and we've been following this for years now, the shift in union support of Republicans.
Yeah.
I mean, you have unions in Ohio now endorsing Republican Senate candidates over Sherrod Brown. Shanghai Sherrod, who's running again to try to get a seat back in the Senate against current Senator John Husted, who took J.D. Vance's seat. And Husted's okay, not a huge fan, but he's a Republican, and he votes reliably with us, so I will give him credit for that. He's no James Lankford. But, you know, you have unions supporting us.
Yeah.
You have majority Hispanic support for Republicans now.
Young
Could you
people.
Ever imagine that? But the bigger change, right, and that's what I was getting at, the bigger change is you've now totally flipped. So it used to be all that it was old, crusty white people being Republicans, the boomers, if you will. It's totally flipped now. Those are the Trump deranged people, which is crazy to me. I don't really understand that what happened. But the support for Republicans and for Trump and for America First amongst the youth really puts us on a trajectory to power this party for the next 20 years. And if go ahead real quick.
No, but like we have we assimilated the Obama coalition.
I
would have laughed at you.
That fell apart. We're going to try to hold it together here.
But, you know, Trump is the candidate to put Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania reliably in the toss-up column. And any times at the top of the day. What Republican has ever done that for us? Besides, you have to go back to Bush 41.
Well, here's the thing that really scares Democrats. So J.D. Vance is lined up to be the standard bearer for the party come 2028. Obviously, we've got midterms to get through here. There's a lot at play here. You have a mid-cycle redistricting occurring. We're going to gain net seats. I think
if
that
we
actually...
win the SCOTUS case, man.
Oh, yeah.
The voting rights Democrats act, in the South are virtually wiped out.
Yeah, they'll be wiped out. I think that we will, but it won't be in enough time to run that for the midterms.
No, it won't.
So,
but for the presidential?
Sure. Yes, that would be key because that reapportions electoral votes. Now, that's key. I actually think we're in great shape for the midterms. I mean, we got to keep pounding the pavement, but the achievements are going to speak for themselves here, I think, over the next couple of years. But looking towards 2028, if the Democrats are terrified for a number of reasons. One, if this pace of deportations continues, you know, it's going to be tens of millions of illegals deported. They counted the illegals in their census, right? And that resulted in a massive disproportionate count for blue states. But then if you pile on top, if J.D. Vance wins in 2028, between the continuation of deportations, the general non-counting of illegals, and getting a proper count, a number of things could happen. One, it could cement our rule in Congress for a long time in the House of Representatives. It generally, from migration anyway, the Democrats are set to lose between 6 and 10 seats from blue states towards red states. States like Texas, Florida, all are massive, massive inflows from those poll states. And the interesting thing is that it's not really changing the makeup of those states either yet. I mean, Florida's redder than ever. It's the conservative mecca. You know, down there, when I was down there a couple weeks ago, I mean, you have businesses with signs out that say America First. Keep it up, Trump.
And
you know,
and
keep going.
Formerly, you know, Democratic Hispanic voters are now MAGA.
Miami-Dade
flipped. It flipped.
I mean,
that was like where Gore put like his whole strategy in recounting those.
It would have been unfathomable even 8 years ago, right? And so, but the Democrats see this happening, and they're really concerned about the long-term viability because not only that, they have no leader. There's no leader of the party. And any of these potential next leaders are fucking disasters.
I mean, Timu Obama, you know. I mean, shot
I like Kmart Obama, too. Kmart, that's a good one, too,
He, you know, tried... His latest talk point is, well, the Republicans can't talk with us. I can't talk with them. We can't have talks with Republicans. And Dana Bash, of all people, was like, well, I know exactly where your office is. You're like two steps... You're like, two, you know, a couple steps down the hall. Why don't you just talk to him? I can't talk to him. So, the man is just uncharismatic and just can't get it done. Chuck is just cooked. I think he's just buying time. And they have no agenda, no message, nothing, like you said. What else is there? Honestly, and I don't know who thought that dying on the hill of NPR funding and illegal alien health care was going to get them over the hill. I mean, there's nothing to go for here. I mean, nothing. The longer this drags out and the more this gets exposed, I mean, I don't know if you saw the latest poll, but more voters are now starting to blame the Dems for the shutdown, and I think they'll cave next week. I think they want to get this No Kings thing out of the way, and then they'll just vote to reopen the government. They can't do it now because all these thousands of crazy people are coming to D.C. They're going to be then flooding their offices, even though they're probably not there. Hordes of people. Just in the halls of, you know, in Rayburn, everything just does not look good. And it's just, they're not going to do it. They're going to have this little rally, which is going to do nothing. And spearheaded by those loser Republicans that we purged, by the way. Not really, it's not really like, you know, moveon.org it's doing this stuff. But they'll have it on the 18th. They'll whine and huff and puff. And then I think, I'm hoping by Wednesday, the dam starts to really crack.
Yeah.
And collapse here. This can't go on. You know, they bitch about the healthcare subsidies expiring in December, which Speaker Johnson knows about. They could have been working on it right now, but they decided to shut down the fucking government because, you know, NPR needs their funding and illegal aliens need healthcare. So
the tranny shit, too.
And the tranny shit stuff, yeah. And, you know, having LGBT and feminist principles being funded in Africa and all this fucking So, listen, we could be doing this, but, you know... And then it doesn't help that Marjorie Taylor Greene decides to call an audible and blames us for the shutdown. That's another... person in a sidebar, but that's another disappointing.
Well, so here,
that's another disappointing, you know, twist in all this. Like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're probably right about the No Kings thing. Although I will say, from what I've heard, it might not become to a resolution that quick.
Yeah.
Thune is making some interesting procedural moves here to potentially push through the NDAA, the National Defense Authorization, which would fund the troops fully.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
Right now they're moving money around.
Yeah, I could foresee at this point that it goes into November.
Okay.
Now I don't care either way. The thing I'll say that's really disappointing is I was expecting that it was going to really cut down on traffic around here, and it has not.
No, everyone's
I don't know what the f*** is going on. This is a really disappointing shutdown in my book. You know, I was expecting low tolls, low traffic. Instead, it's just normal. So I don't know what the f*** is going on. But, you know, if they want to keep it shut down, sure. Keep riffing.
Down. Yeah.
Keep firing feds. Doesn't matter to me. I'm very happy for that.
We're not expanding healthcare for illegal aliens. That's just not going to fucking happen.
No, but here's the real fucking crazy thing to me of this whole thing. Okay. One, you have Timu Obama out there complaining about healthcare costs. It's their healthcare system. It's Obamacare. We said that Obamacare was going to do this to the healthcare system, and look where we are. You know, 13 years later now, here we – or more than that. No, it's almost 15 years, right, I think?
2009,
look, yeah. Well, yeah, it was right before, before the Tea Party wave. And they shut down the government for that too, by the way.
They did.
But look where they are now. They destroyed the healthcare system, and now they're like, oh, we have to have these subsidies. No. There's a way to fix the healthcare system, and it's to restore competition and to let you buy across state lines and to remove subsidies, because subsidies, very similar to the student loan issue and the federal subsidization of higher education, leads to massive increased costs. When you have these healthcare companies running on all this government cheese, what do you think is going to happen?
Why?
They're going to raise the cost.
Why wouldn't I raise costs?
Right. Why wouldn't they raise the cost to increase profit?
I got this stream of free money coming to me.
Exactly. For them, it's free money. Yeah. You know, meanwhile, taxpayers, us, are footing the bill for all these fucking people getting health care. And guess what? Illegals are getting taxpayer health care.
Yeah.
The Democrats say it's a lie. It's a fact. It is a fact.
Yeah, that counterpoint lasted about 2 days. It didn't stand to scrutiny at all.
Who the do you think pays for it if an illegal goes into the hospital?
Yeah. And it goes to the states. Remember, it's a block, right? Block grant goes to the Medicaid, goes to the states. How do you think Governor Pritzker is going to allocate that money?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, for God's sakes.
It's absolutely insane. And then the Democrats are, Trump moves the money around to pay the military and using DOD funds, and then he's using tariff funds to keep WIC going, which is, I think, the Women and Children Food Program.
Yeah.
And the Democrats say, oh, no, that's against the law, and are threatening to sue. Please be my fucking guest and sue to stop President Trump from paying the troops and feeding women and children.
Yeah.
That'll be a winner.
I think they'll back off from that, to be honest.
The Democrats are getting crushed in this debate right now. They've gotten less popular every single day of this shutdown. People are finally realizing, because even the mainstream media can't cover for them right now. The liberal media... because the main sticking point is that they want healthcare for illegals. Medicaid funding for illegals. And they're trying to tie this Obamacare subsidy shit to it, when in reality, all you're going to do is convince Democrats. And they're already f***ing nuts. Because guess what? Independents, and especially Republicans, f***ing hate Obamacare and think it needs to be replaced. And so I think the positive of all this is that if anything comes out of this for us, I think there's some significant momentum on the Republican side to potentially try to replace Obamacare. Remember, we were there last time, and then John McCain came in with his little thumbs down before he died, And I think that there might be enough momentum now on the Republican side to take a serious look at this. And everyone that I talk to say that health... Why would we keep the same system? Why would we keep encouraging the bad behavior of these healthcare companies? And, you know, Trump's going to war with Big Pharma right now, and he's having some significant success. Trump RX is launching in January, and we're now getting most favored nation pricing on our drugs from big pharmaceutical companies. And it's long overdue.
Yeah, it has to be long overdue.
No longer should the United States, and particularly taxpayers, subsidize the research and development of these drugs that other countries get to rape and pillage for free.
Yeah.
That's just common sense. It's America first. United States isn't getting f***ed anymore. You look at Trump. Trump is, I mean, you look at how these world leaders treated Trump. Trump landed in Israel.
Yeah.
Massive fanfare, massive welcome, military salutes. Both president and prime minister there, goes to the Knesset, which is not an honor given to just anybody, addresses them, massive applause, people love him, does that. In the same day he goes to Egypt, and all these Muslim leaders dying to take a picture with him, all the European leaders, you know, who in history could have done that? No president in modern history could have done that. None.
No.
And so it just shows that people respect him. And as much as the Democrats love to say that, oh, America's not respected anymore, we're more respected than ever before.
Yeah. Feared, too.
People know he's not fucking around.
Yeah. You know? See how he humiliated the UK Prime Minister?
Oh, that was
Where's
great. Keir? Starmer?
Okay, here you go. Now get the f*** back.
Yeah,
basically,
yeah.
That's what it was.
Starmer thought he was going to get to speak, and then Trump's like, no. And then did you see, I mean, Trump crushed Macron's hand in that handshake. the memes that came out of that were so good. And right now, I mean, President Trump hosting a press conference right now, by the way, the most transparent, accessible president ever had.
Yeah.
The guy has answered more questions in 8 months or 9 months, I guess at this point, coming up on 9 months than Biden did during his entire term.
For sure.
He's ended, by the way, 8 wars in 8 months. We'll take that.
Peace prize.
Well, you know, the thing about the peace prize...
Next year.
Right. The thing about the peace prize was just announced was it was only actions through January 30th, right? And so now there's no excuse.
Yeah.
I mean, before it was, you probably could have gone outside the bounds and given it to him now, but now there's no excuse. He's nominated by nearly every foreign country there is.
Yeah.
If they don't give it to him now, it just makes it into a total joke.
One recipient was going to donate her prize to him.
Yeah. But Trump answers questions nonstop. He's hosting a press conference right now, taking reporter questions with the FBI director and the attorney general on his crackdown on crime across the country. And it's working. Murder is down. Crime is down. D.C. is safer than ever before.
Yeah. Keep the troops there.
I feel like I could walk around the city now. And even liberals, they won't say it publicly, in private,
they're like,
they are thrilled.
Yeah, thank God.
They're thrilled that he solved this issue. And there's still work to do because just this morning, the two teens that brutally beat Big Balls, the Doge staffer, ex-Doge staffer, got off. No jail time.
I know. Was it probation?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. 15 and 16-year-old. I mean, you can guess the race, you know.
Yeah.
It's that still needs to be fixed.
For what is arguably an attempted murder.
Correct.
I mean,
they were only charged with assault.
Didn't they stomp on his head?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It should have been attempted murder. Yeah.
Anytime you stomp on someone's head.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if Judge Jeanine does some work on that.
Yeah.
We'll see. And she's been doing great. You know, this administration is just full of rock stars. Secretary Bessent is doing an unbelievable job over at Treasury. I mean, Marco Rubio, what a rock star that he is.
Great Secretary of
He's
State.
Now down to three jobs.
Yeah.
Remember, he had four. Now he's down to three.
Thank God. But, yeah.
I think that he is probably going to be J.D. Vance's vice president, but I wouldn't be upset if he remained Secretary of State because I think he's going to go down as perhaps one of the greatest Secretary of State in the history of the United States. I mean, look at Pete Hegseth, what he's doing, restoring the military, bringing it back to greatness. And the military guys love it. I was just recently talking to a number of rank-and-file military guys, some retired. Love it.
Yeah.
Love it. And so it's very clear that this is on an upward trajectory here, and the Democrats, all they do is just oppose it. And the American people are sick of it. The approval of the Democrat Party among independents is in the tank.
It's in the 20s. It's in the 20s. Yeah.
And if you look at the number who are blaming Democrats for the shutdown is going way up by the day. Their approval ratings are tanking by the day. Republicans are winning the shutdown fight, and which is crazy to me because I don't think we've ever won a shutdown fight.
2018. Over the border wall.
Yeah, but we got blamed, and then we caved because of Paul Ryan.
But Chuck Schumer was also like, "Oh shit, people think that we're like
But that was nowhere near this.
Oh yeah, this is clear and defined.
This is very clear.
Based on, I think, sorry, I forgot to mention that was a YouGov poll.
Yeah,
Economist. So I know it says 6-point separation between the two parties.
Yeah, but there's another one. Yeah. There's another one that shows it's 60% blame the Democrats. Oh, so it's there you know. The numbers
they're,
can
they're,
always
yeah,
be
Yeah, they're definitely losing the fucking messaging.
Yeah.
It's not.
I mean,
and
Mike Johnson's been on point.
He's been excellent.
Mike Johnson, he's been great. Yeah.
I mean, of course, you want to reel out the guy who knows every bit of fucking legislation on the docket to be like, no. Let me explain why the Democrats are shit.
High accolades to him for a number of things. Of course, everyone that's listened to this for a long time knows that I was not a huge fan of what we did with the speakership and then him ending up in the speakership. But he has come through at every time we've needed Mike to come through. Speaker Mike Johnson has. And he deserves a lot of credit for that, especially with the razor-thin majority that he has. I mean, he came through on the One Big Beautiful Bill like no speaker that I've seen in at least my lifetime.
He got it done, man.
Come through on every time we need him.
Yeah.
He's there, and so I give him great credit.
And when this circus began, he was out there full force gashing the counterpoints that Democrats had about how illegal aliens can't get health care. He's like, no, it's right here in the bill, here.
Yeah.
Here. And went on CNN, MSNBC, and just bulldozed any host who tried to trot out the DNC talking points. It was excellent.
Yeah, Mike Johnson's done a great job every single press conference he holds with highlighting the craziness that the Democrats want and touting how Republicans, one, are in their districts helping their constituents navigate through the shutdown and some of the pain that's being inflicted here by the Democrats. Take a listen.
That we just won't go along with. We won't sell out the long-term security and future of the United States so that Chuck Schumer can prevent a primary challenge from his left wing. We will not be a part of that nonsense. And until Schumer and the left wing of his party are satisfied enough that the pain this shutdown has caused has reached a limit that they're satisfied with, then the Republicans are going to stand here every single day, and we're going to continue to deliver the simple facts directly to the American people. Now, today we brought in some of our...
Meanwhile, the Democrats are up here doing publicity stunts. Yesterday, they marched to Speaker Johnson's office.
To seat that Arizona congresswoman, right?
Yeah. They marched to Speaker Johnson's office, making all kinds of loud noises through the Capitol. Then they screamed at a Capitol police officer who's not being paid because of them.
Yeah.
Screamed in their face. You know, I thought they loved Capitol Police, you know, January 6th and that whole circle jerk. The funny thing is, Speaker Johnson wasn't even there. He was at the White House for the Charlie Kirk event.
Yeah.
So that just shows you how fucking disorganized and incompetent they are. And you know what I'm really looking forward to? Mm. It was just announced today that Speaker Johnson and Timu Obama are going to debate live on C-SPAN.
Oh.
That is going to be much must-watch TV there because Timu Obama, I don't know what he was thinking accepting this. I actually think he may try to string it along and back out and pray that the Senate Democrats will open the government next week. And then he could get out of this
because he will be
destroyed. But, I mean, if you look at the Democrats, they got nobody.
Yeah.
Who are they going to put up? Jasmine Crockett?
No. Oh.
That ratchet-ass whore?
I kind of hope they
do. You kidding me? AOC? Who's going to primary Chuck Schumer? That's going to be a great bloodbath to watch. Who else they got? Oh, yeah, the communist Jew-hater in New York that loves 9/11.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that's a good one. Who else? Kamala? Oh, yeah, great.
Happy hands. Tim Walls is still around.
Oh, yeah, Tim Walls.
Tim Walls, boy, is still around.
Who would love to see the president dead, in his own words.
Whose state just now admitted that illegal aliens can vote in their elections.
Yes,
because of their new DMV laws.
And get medical care and abortions. Yep. Yes, that's good. Pete Buttigieg? Yeah, that's going to go well with the blacks. Yeah. I'll just leave it at that.
0% black.
Shapiro from Pennsylvania?
He's Jewish.
Yeah, Jewish. That's not going to fly.
Can't do it.
Oh, and one other thing. The whole ceasefire now crowd, their masks are off.
Oh, yeah. They're...
Have you seen?
Yeah.
It wasn't just about a ceasefire. Yeah. It's until Israel ceases to exist. Yeah, we knew that the whole time.
Yep, thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for making it very clear. All right, we're going to wrap up
also,
here.
Also, I just love with that. Sorry, last point, that ceasefire deal. That's like the last issue that Trump has now taken away from the left.
They have nothing.
Now. They whined about that. Now that's gone. Now they don't know what to do.
They're just so disorganized. They got no money. They have no leaders. They have no message. They're getting crushed on every single policy.
Notice how we gutted USAID. Now none of these lib organizations. Yeah, that's very particular,
isn't it? Yeah, very it's very interesting. Yeah, that's very interesting. All right. If you have any comments, email us, triggered@townhall.com. We love hearing from you. Some of you I emailed back in my little hiatus there, but we love hearing from all of you, so don't hesitate to email us. And if you enjoy Triggered and want it uncensored, become a Town Hall VIP member at townhallvip.com. We are running a special Schumer shutdown sale right now. Use the promo code POTUS47. That's POTUS, the number 47, for 74% off. It's going for the distance of the Schumer shutdown. Got a lot of great stuff going on over there. We just launched our new Town Hall Media Platinum site, which brings all of our content from the entire network together in one spot. You can listen to Triggered as you scroll through our stories. You can watch Larry. You can read all of your VIP content from Matt, Katie, Kurt, everyone across all of our sites in the network. Being a Platinum member is the way to go right now, especially at 74% off. And if you want to upgrade, just contact customer service and Corey or old Mr. Producer or any of them. We'll be happy to help you. We love all of you. There's so many Triggered listeners who are VIP members since the very beginning of launching VIP, which we're coming up on the six-year anniversary of now. That was my little brainchild baby, so I thank you all for your support. We love you all, and thank you for listening. I will be back here for another episode next week because Corey is going on vacation. So you get me 2 weeks in a row. I promise I will be here. And I love you all and appreciate you all. And, of course, stay tuned to townhall.com for the latest breaking news on the shutdown, the peace deal, and all of President Trump's great accomplishments. We will see you next week.
See you then.